What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Let's kick this thing off.
Mackenzie Collins is the owner of Max Flooring Installations. He's an everyday person who lives in Canada and has discovered Bitcoin over the last few years. This is an amazing episode. You can follow him on Instagram at mac.the.builder. In this conversation, we discuss Mackenzie's background, how he discovered Bitcoin, how he thinks of time versus money, why Bitcoin changed his spending habits, and why an everyday person believes so strongly in the digital currency's future. I really enjoyed this episode. It may be my favorite ever, and I hope you enjoy this. Before we get into the episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is Level. LVL. They're a new crypto investing platform that I'm an investor in. They allow anyone to trade an unlimited number of times every month for free. That's right. You can go to lvl.co/pomp and you can buy and sell Bitcoin for free. There's no trading fees and there's no spreads. It is free. The company makes money through other revenue sources, whether it's deposits, withdrawals, or other financial services like an FDIC-insured cash account. But when you're buying and selling Bitcoin, there are zero fees. It's pretty much a no-brainer. Go check them out at lvl.co/pomp. Again, no trading fees and no spread. lvl.co/pomp. Go buy and sell Bitcoin for free. Next up is Unstoppable Domains. Everyone has had their heart thumping in their chest when they try to send Bitcoin to a Bitcoin wallet address. That random string of letters and numbers is always double-checked and triple-checked to make sure you don't mess up. But now with Unstoppable Domains partnering with Coinbase wallets, you don't have to use that long string, that hex address of letters and numbers. Instead, you can just use a .crypto domain. So I have pomp.crypto. I plug it in when somebody wants to send me money, and next thing I know, it shows up. So now all of a sudden, you can go buy whatever name you want, .crypto, through Unstoppable Domains, and use that as your wallet address instead of having to use that long string of letters and numbers. The domains work just like in the traditional world. Once somebody buys it, nobody else can have it. So if you've got a name, whether it's your name, your company's name, or some other word that you want to own, make sure you go on over to unstoppabledomains.com and buy it today. Once you get it, nobody else can get it. There's digital scarcity. Shocker. So head on over to unstoppabledomains.com and pick up a .crypto or .zil domain today. Unstoppabledomains.com. They're helping bring the decentralized internet to the mainstream. UnstoppableDomains.com. Last up, don't forget that I write a daily letter to over 90,000 investors about business, technology, and finance. I break down complex topics into easy-to-understand language while sharing my personal opinion on various aspects of each industry. You can subscribe at PompLetter.com. Again, that's pompletter.com. All right, let's get into this episode with Mackenzie. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano is a partner at Morgan Creek Digital. All opinions expressed by Pomp or his guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Morgan Creek Digital or Morgan Creek Capital Management. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
All right, guys, bang, bang. I've got a very, very special episode for you today. Mackenzie is here. I constantly get people who ask me to come on the podcast who want to hear from kind of an everyday person, not somebody who works in Wall Street or in finance, somebody who doesn't spend all day as a professional investor, but rather somebody who has come across Bitcoin as part of what they do on a day-to-day basis. And so I thought it'd be great to have Mackenzie come on and talk about that. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This is an unbelievable experience for me.
For sure. So let's start just with a little bit of background on you and your family so that people kind of understand the perspective that you're coming from. Where were you born and kind of what have you done in your career until today?
Sure. So I was born actually in the lower mainland of British Columbia, Surrey, BC. Most of my family's from around that area. So basically my parents moved to Vancouver Island, which is a small island off the west coast of Canada. And it would have been 89. I was a year old when we moved here. My parents came over for a holiday. they fell in love with it right away. My dad's been a career flooring installer. He found work immediately, never went back. And from then, we had a lot of family follow us over. As far as the work end of things, like I say, my entire family has been in the flooring industry. It's something going through high school, growing up, I never thought I'd be getting into. You know, when you're surrounded by it, you're like, oh, I might want to try something else. But then once I got married, had kids, I started to realize just how one, profitable and how good I was at it. I've been installing flooring with my dad since I was 14 years old. That's basically when I started screwing up in school, and he made me go to work with him instead of going to the school dance. I've had through my 20s a lot of different employment opportunities, got to try a lot of different things. Young family, been a father since I was 21 years old. And but every one of those jobs, it's benefited me in some aspect of what I'm doing now. And it's been really cool to see those different skill sets all come together to where I am now.
Absolutely. And so how old are you now? And then how many children do you have?
I'm 32 and I have two girls, one 4 and one 10.
Awesome. And So when I think about you, you know, I think of you as kind of the quintessential, in America, we would call kind of the American story, right? But obviously being in Canada, of a hard worker who has a young family, and you basically are doing everything that you're supposed to be doing in order to build a great life for your family, for your daughters, and kind of accomplish the goals that you set out for yourself. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. At least that's what I'm trying to do.
I think you're doing just fine, my friend. So one of the things, as we were talking beforehand and kind of preparing for this, that I found very fascinating is the approach that you take, right? Most of the jobs that you've held have to do with some sort of physical labor and the creation of or the production of something in the physical world. So you're not a software engineer. You're not working at a tech startup, right? You're doing flooring or roofing and kind of more construction-driven jobs. But that industry has some amazing people and then has a lot of people who people have bad experiences with. I think your approach to how you service clients and the people you work with is really unique and will play into the value that you see in Bitcoin. But just talk to me a little bit about kind of the perspective that you have and that you take to work every day in terms of the value and how you work with those clients.
Absolutely. So my biggest frustration being in the construction industry is going into someone's home and seeing contractors treating the client as if they're doing them some kind of favor. I don't care how busy it is, how long you've been in the industry, frankly, how the client's treating you. They are doing you a favor. They are hiring you and they are trusting you and your expertise to do the best job possible. So I guess my view and how I communicate with my clients, I guess I'm a little more close with them. I treat them as if they were my parents. I don't want them to feel like I am in there just to make my buck and get out. A big thing is I understand how hard a lot of small town people all over the place work for their dollar. I know how hard I work for my dollar and I want to give them the best value I possibly can. And it doesn't mean I can't be friendly along the way. And especially I live in a town of just under 40,000. Everybody knows everybody. I basically don't advertise. Everything's word of mouth. I don't have decals on my truck. I don't do any of that. It's just word of mouth, being conscientious of the client and making sure that, like I say, I'm giving them the best value for their dollar.
Yeah. And you specifically mentioned one thing that I think is really important, which is this idea of outside of major metros, there's this understanding and belief that people work hard for their money, right? That these are people who are putting in long hours, hard hours in comparison to a lot of kind of major metros or software type businesses. And therefore, when you go and you perform a service, you essentially are saying, hey, look, I need to provide value equivalent to or over the amount of money that they're giving me because I know they worked hard for it. And so I'm going to work hard for them to then give it to me. Is that kind of a fair way to describe the approach you take?
Absolutely. And I can't even say, I know my experience is in a small town, but I can't say that I wouldn't approach it the same way outside. It's what I expect from someone when I'm hiring them. I expect them to really respect the fact that I'm providing you with a living while you're working for me. And to me, that is everything. That's how I support my family. So yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense. And so you are probably not very high on the list that most people would think of as somebody who comes across Bitcoin, becomes a believer in Bitcoin, uses Bitcoin, invests in Bitcoin, et cetera. Let's start with just like, when was the first time you ever heard about Bitcoin and kind of what did you think when you heard about it?
Sure. So first time I ever heard about it, I was at my buddy's house. I think they were watching football or something, placing some bets on the game. And one of my buddies, who's a software engineer, brings up Ethereum and Bitcoin and how I think they were trading. Ethereum was around $14 at the time and Bitcoin maybe 1,000. So I just remember these guys being like, I'm up 15 grand this week. Like, this is insane. So of course my first inclination is not what is it? It's how am I going to make money here? It's probably might be the worst way to go about it, but really that 2016, 2017 bull run that started, I made a lot of money and at the same time lost a lot of money. I did, luckily I was about break even at the end of it, but you see these huge gains really quickly and it's just like gambling. You don't register that is real money. And you think that this is going to go on forever. It's that whole euphoria that everybody talks about. And it's so real. So the difference is at the end of the bull run, when everything was said and done, I backed away out of the markets for a bit and just went, there's something here. Let's see what it was I was really getting myself into. And from there, it's been 3 or 4 years of just picking away, trying to understand the sound money theory and all these different things that are going to help me keep the money I earn and just have more for the future. I've never invested a penny before Bitcoin came along, and it just opened my eyes to the whole financial realm.
Yeah. And so what's interesting to me about this is there's a couple of data points that I think people intuitively believe are true, but hearing them from somebody in your position is really powerful, right? So the first is just the raw honesty from you of like, hey, I came to get rich, right? The price appreciation got my attention and therefore I thought that I could make a bunch of money really fast. Mm-hmm. I actually think that is a lot, if not almost everybody who initially comes across Bitcoin specifically in these assets, right? Mm-hmm. It is this understanding of like kind of the number goes up, right? Yeah. But then what ends up happening, whether it's because of a market crash, time spent, you know, curiosity, whatever, is eventually you start to understand more about what is the history of money? What is sound money? Why is it important? How can it protect my wealth? So there's this saying, I think it's my buddy Marty Bent who first said it, that's like, you come for the money and then you stay for the money, right? You come to make money, but mm-hmm. then you eventually stay for the sound money, right? Yeah. And it sounds like that was very much kind of your experience. Is that accurate?
Absolutely it is. And the hardest thing to do once you have that realization is convince your family that this is the right thing to do. Because it is not well understood. Like my parents, I've been talking at them for the last 4 years about Bitcoin and not really being able to explain it properly. Like I say, I'm a tile setter. I am not a financial advisor. But then I start coming across literature that really helps out the Bitcoin standard. I mean, that was my foundation, just understanding, all of these different monetary systems and why they failed. They failed for the same reason every single time. And then you go down further down the path and you're the sovereign individual and the fourth turning. And you try not to get too apocalyptic about everything because, you know, you got to wake up and get out of bed every day. But it's like I say, it's just been an unbelievable journey. Just figuring out step by step why this is happening, because it's hard to believe for a lot of people that this is the new standard. This is where we're going. And when I know guys like you and me see it, but it's so weird to be one of those people when the rest of the world is just catching on.
Absolutely. And so let's start with you make kind of the initial investment in Bitcoin, price goes up, price goes down. You also, it sounds like Ether and maybe others. And as you kind of go on the education journey, so take away the price for a second. As you go on that education journey, I'm assuming that you're talking about it with your wife, with your parents. Like, what are they saying? Are they like, you're absolutely insane and like, stay away from me and stay away from that stuff? Or are they more open-minded? Like, what's kind of the reaction as you're going down the rabbit hole?
Well, 4 years ago, I was working, doing sales in flooring. I thought I'd give that a shot, not my gig. I found that out pretty quick, but I remember trying to explain it like with this very basic understanding of what Bitcoin is to my boss at the time. And he's sitting there staring at me and I don't think it was probably the best play. He's like, okay, if this guy doesn't understand that we want Canadian dollars, not Bitcoin, that might be an issue. So then I move on to my parents. And it's not that they didn't understand, but they're reaching retirement age. And this is, especially then, it's a very volatile, high risk asset that maybe they don't want to get into. So then other family members, I remember being on a family reunion, sitting on a lake in a boat, explaining to my dad's cousin, talking about Bitcoin and my best friend sitting there. And it's just you do your best, but all I can do is direct them to the different areas where I learned and pass that knowledge on to them that way, because I'm not the right guy to be spouting. And then as far as my wife goes, she is the best. She trusts that I know what I'm talking about and that I have the best interest of the family. I tried to get her to listen to the Bitcoin standard and she ended up using it as a meditation to fall asleep. So...
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit, and obviously don't disclose kind of numbers and stuff, but when you think of investing in Bitcoin or holding Bitcoin, is this something where you're thinking of it as like a portfolio and you kind of invest and one day want to sell it? Is it something where you say, no, I want to kind of save and use Bitcoin as a savings technology? Like, how do you think about it? And then how do you think about how much Canadian dollars to hold versus Bitcoin versus maybe other assets?
Sure. Well, at this point, the way the world is right now, it's been really difficult for me not to go all in on Bitcoin, especially in Canada here. This COVID thing has obviously nuked the country. We have had a lot of support and stimulus from the government, which is good and bad. There's different ways of looking at it. But the bottom line is, I believe we spent 57% of our GDP this year. And we're getting all of these different benefits, whether it be the CERB, $1,200 every 2 weeks, or the business loans where you borrow $30,000, $10,000 is forgivable. That all needs to get paid from somewhere. And it's that's why I've been fortunate with everybody staying at home. They stare at their walls and want tile on them, apparently. So I can't really I can't complain in that respect. But
it's funny how that works, right?
Yeah,
everyone sits around at home and says, "Hey, I actually need some improvements around here if I'm going to sit here all day."
Absolutely, and it's baffling to me. It's like, and it's the same with interest rates dropping. Our real estate values have shot through the roof, and it's like, is real estate really appreciating that much, or are people just getting more access to funds that, it's not my place to say whether or not they should be borrowing, but it's there. Tax deferrals, mortgage deferrals, all these different things. It's like, we're just kicking the can down the road. That's all that's happening here. And it's an intimidating prospect.
Absolutely. And it's pretty crazy too, to think, you know, one of, you take that mentality that you have of like, everyone works hard for their money and therefore I want to provide value. But also too, it sounds like you've got this idea around, but I work hard for my money as well and I want to protect it. Right. And mm-hmm. that's kind of when you talk about the national debt and a lot mm-hmm. of these issues, it sounds like really for you, Bitcoin is much more a way to protect wealth than it is as like a speculative asset or anything like that.
Yeah, I, if I'm being completely honest, it's both for me right now because of where we are in Bitcoin's growth. Yeah, obviously I see the upside of it. But in the same breath, if we were 10, 15 years down the road and Bitcoin was stable and we were in the same position, I'd still be there because, like I say, this where you sell a house for $450,000 a year ago, and now it's worth, $570,000. That's insane. And that's not, it's the same. You go and buy, a case of Coke or something, and that was $4 last year and it's $7.99 this year. It's happening everywhere. So I'd be a liar if I was saying I'm not here for the price discovery as well. That's a big part of it. But the stability, when you can say I'm confident in the stability of Bitcoin, even with the volatile price swings that are going on, that's saying something. I'm not against paying taxes or anything like that. I just, I'm very much for not having my money taken when it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. And what's so interesting to me is, I think of this as like, you can be described as a hardworking Canadian who simply wants to provide a life for their family. Right. I mean, at the core of it, everyone wants to have enough resources to live the life that they want to live and they want to be happy. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that what is fascinating to me, and I think that you're not alone in this, is something like Bitcoin can pull so many people in and really open their eyes to kind of the macroeconomic world, to the financial investing world, right? Like it almost sounds like over the last 3 or 4 years, you've gotten a crash course in a lot of different topics that have a very material impact on you, your family, your finances, but aren't necessarily taught in school in a way that people pay attention or learn, correct?
Absolutely. And that's just the thing. Bitcoin could disappear tomorrow and I would still be better off for it existing for the time it did. Like I say, it just brought so much clarity. And no, it's not taught in schools. I'm 30 years old and I went through my 20s not being aware of any of this. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You can't go back, but you just go, man, some of those choices I made for these small short-term gains, these short-term happiness, could have developed into something so much bigger had I just understood that value proposition for long-term savings.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about this before, so I'm actually curious to your answer, but do you feel like, understanding of Bitcoin, the macro environment, inflation, a lot of kind of the things that we've talked about, has that changed your spending patterns or your saving patterns? Like how I guess there's one part that's like knowledge. The other is behavior change. What, if any, behaviors have changed that you think are noticeable?
For me in particular, massive changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, we uprooted ourselves in probably the biggest way you can, sold our home to pay down all the debt that we possibly could. So basically we were at net zero. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought of doing that 2 years ago. You just think that sitting in your home and allowing real estate values to inflate, like that's your retirement at the end of it. And if you can pull some money and maybe get a investment property and build that way, that's one way. But I've worked 19-hour days and done that, you know, just grinding day after day to make the bills get paid at the end of the month. And with my kids, I'm just like, that is not a way I want to live my life. I have no energy when I get home. I, you know, I'm 32 and I don't have energy to play with my kids. What's wrong with that picture? I had this silly idea in my head that if I wasn't stressed and exhausted, I wasn't working hard enough. And that's not true. That is the root of the problem. And it's the same thing with money. You don't have to, you know, if you just let it do its work for you, then it takes a lot of the stress away.
It is so true, right? In terms of one, kudos to you for learning this stuff. Two, having the courage and conviction to act, right? I mean, you know, I say it all the time, but getting out of debt can be one of the most freeing exercises that you can do. And so being able to do that alone is a big thing. But I think that the third thing you said there that is so true, and frankly, people are taught the opposite, is to put the money to work for you. Right? Most people are told save, save, save. And what they don't realize is based on their income and their expenses, there's just not enough money to save to ever actually kind of get out of the rat race, right? What you got to do is you got to be able to have a little bit of money, you know, as a rainy day, but then you got to be able to invest everything else and grow it and have it grow faster than inflation so that you're not just having to trade your hours for dollars, right? Instead, you can actually use the investments to help build wealth. And it sounds like that kind of really hit home for you and changed your behavior.
Absolutely. And I think, early 30s with a bad sciatic nerve, I can't do this forever. It's not a long-term play for me, the construction industry. And it's 40, 45, 50, it's not far off. So it's going to come a lot quicker than I know. So just like I say, getting prepared for that.
For sure. And then, so the last thing I want to talk about is kind of spending habits, right? So one of the things that I personally have seen is I've started to almost like in my head denominate things in Satoshis or in Bitcoin. So, you know, in 2019, I've talked about it on the podcast before, in January 2019, my wife, you know, wanted to buy a couch. And I was calculating like how many Bitcoin that would be, right? Now I was like, we don't need a couch. And so, you know, that's kind of like an extreme example. But do you see kind of changes not only on the investing side, but also in the spending habits as well?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of tough in certain ways. Like I look at the position we're in now, the important things are like, my daughter just started an outdoor preschool program. That, for better or worse, that was a stressful thing for me to know that we're spending that extra money every month. Of course I want that for my kids, but it's still money out the door, which means I'm not home. And so, yeah, that kind of stuff is a lot easier to do, but then the trivial, little knick-knacky things. Like you say, your couch, we don't need it. We just don't need it right now. I keep on telling my wife, we're not even looking at houses right now. Give me some time. Let's see where this goes. We don't need to rush anything. So.
Yeah. And what's interesting to kind of your perspective, because I don't think a lot of people do this, whether it's because they don't get paid hourly or it's not kind of more manual type work, but you literally are making a connection between if your daughter goes to preschool, it's X dollars, which means you've got to work Y hours. And therefore you can make a direct kind of connection between a decision you make on the spending side with an kind of energy output for you, right? Like there's a direct link between I'm going to have to work X number of more hours in order to pay for this. And so I think that that direct linkage makes it much actually clearer for you to make those decisions, right? For some people, that's harder for them to do. They actually don't know how much money they get paid per hour because they're on a salary or something like that. For you, that connection being so clear probably makes it a much, at least clearer decision, not necessarily easier, but just much easier to evaluate.
It's unbelievably clear to me. And it's something that I've had to explain. It's something my wife and I have discussed because she's at home with the kids. And like I say, every dollar I make is I equate it, you equate things to Satoshis. I equate it to a minute spent with my kids. So yeah, absolutely. I don't look at houses. I don't look at trucks. I don't look at any of those different objects in the world as what I'm working towards. It's all about time with my kids. If I can make it to some point, my goal is, at some point I can make it to my kids still living at home and me being able to work a 4-day work week and have 3 days for them. That's still crazy to me that we spend more time at work than we do with our family, even in the best case. So yeah, absolutely. That is the value proposition for me.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of this kind of framing in the Bitcoin world, but basically the whole idea is that Bitcoin is time. Right. And essentially what you're describing is exactly that, right? Mm-hmm. Is there's a direct trade-off between wealth and time. And the less wealth you have, the more time you have to spend. But the more wealth you have, the less time you have to spend kind of doing things you might not want to do, right? And so to your point of, I love the idea of you having measurable goals, right? I know I need to get to X number so then I can spend 4 days working, 3 days with my kids. Like a lot of people I think have a dream, right? Which is, hey, I want to spend more time with my kids. Okay, that's great. How are you going to get there? Well, by you setting kind of a measurable goal, right? It's pretty trackable. And something tells me that that you're a pretty driven guy so that you'll likely get there as well.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I hope so for the sake of my kids because you only get to see them grow up once. And man, it happens fast. Everybody says it, but it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. All right. Before I let you go, I always ask people the same two questions. For you, what is the most important book that you've ever read?
Okay. So full disclosure, I don't read Pomp. I haven't since high school. Audible is my friend.
Okay. Audible. So you listen to books, don't read them.
Well, I'm 10 hours a day working by myself. And that's why podcasts, all these different things, that's my knowledge. I get to sit there and just listen. And
What's the best one you've listened to recently?
So recently, I'm going to say the only reason I'm not saying the Bitcoin Standard is because the fourth turning, everything that's happening right now is blowing my mind. Like every time I was explaining, we watched The Social Dilemma with my daughter the other day, the 10-year-old, because she's starting to get to that age. And I was explaining to her how, as negative as it looks, the fact that we're realizing all this stuff and we're seeing the bad in it, that's good news. I see a turnaround coming, and I can see a world where if we play things right, my daughter never will experience that draw of social media and all those negative effects and maybe only benefit from the tools in it. So yeah, like I say, the fourth turning, I always explain to her how her generation is the hero generation and they're going to pull us from all this nonsense online.
I love that. Second question is more fun. Aliens, are you a believer or non-believer?
Yeah. Again, being a listener of the podcast, I got some time to really think about this and I didn't want to have the same answer as everybody. Base answer is absolutely. The reasoning for that is I hate to keep bringing up my kids, but you stare at your kids for long enough and you try and figure out how this person came to be, how this all came into fruition, and you go, yeah, I don't have the answer, and I'd be ignorant to say that there isn't life elsewhere. I'm all for believing whatever you want to tell me when it comes to that.
I love that. Parents usually don't like talking about that, but the idea of like, hey, I made this thing. Every single one of my friends who's had a kid, who's still got a young kid, is just, you know, they all go through that. So I don't think that you're alone there.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, you could ask me one question to finish up. What do you got for me?
Okay. I guess, again, selfish question. I slid into your DMs there out of nowhere. You don't know me. I don't have much of a Twitter presence. I'm purely there to read content and maybe throw a meme in or a GIF in it every once in a while. But why did you decide that I was the guy? You say you have so many people bugging you. Why was I the guy?
Yeah. I don't know, is a short answer. No. So for those that don't have the context, over the last, I don't know, year or so, on numerous occasions, people have reached out to me and been like, hey, you should basically bring on kind of an everyday Bitcoiner, right? Somebody who doesn't exist in the financial world, doesn't kind of spend all day doing this. They've got kind of what most people would consider a quote unquote a normal job, but they have either fallen down the rabbit hole or something. And usually they position it as, they want to come on the podcast. They want to discuss maybe it's a token that they're invested in or a project that they're really excited about. Like, there's always some angle that they want to capture. I think when you messaged me, it was just like, hey, this is crazy, but like, I'm just a normal dude. if you want, like, I'll come talk about it. And I had been thinking, like, I need to do that at some point. And for whatever reason, when I read your message, I was like, oh, this is somebody who has like no agenda, isn't coming on to like pitch anything or do anything crazy. And the thing that I love is kind of when you articulated, like, here's my work history, here's my family. Like, it was just very, I think, kind of down the fairway of like, I actually think there's more people like you who are into Bitcoin or in the Bitcoin community than people realize. And while I think a lot of like the media attention and all of that is kind of the Robin Hood, you know, trading bros, like everyone's going, you know, YOLO long with 100x, you know, leverage, all, like, sure, there's people like that. But I think when you look at Bitcoin specifically, your story is very similar, but it's not just people in Canada. It's not just people in the United States. Your story is the same story that can be told, you know, in pretty much every country in the world. And that's kind of the beauty of Bitcoin, right? Is that this is a asset that everyone from, you know, Larry Fink, who's the founder of the largest asset manager, BlackRock, in the world, all the way to you, me, and millions of other kind of everyday people, Bitcoin can serve the purpose that we want. And to me, you know, when I just read the message, I was like, all right, I got to do it. Here's the guy. I told you to send me an email because I had to make sure that you weren't, you know, crazy and going to come on and say some wild stuff. But then
I thought you were going to ask me for a lot more information than you did, if I'm being honest.
No, it was just like, look, just tell me kind of your story, right? And you put together a great email and it was just like, hey, like, here it is. And again, it wasn't a pitch about anything or whatever. And I said, look, let's do it. And I think that kind of as we've talked today, like, part of why I wanted to do this, and you said a lot of things I didn't know you were going to say, but I think are important around, you know, the people who work hard, right? And again, it's a physical labor type hard. It's not, oh, I spend a lot of hours, but actual physical labor. This idea of when I get home, I'm tired, right? You are trading your time for dollars. And there's a lot of people who spend their entire lives doing that, and they never realize the things you've learned in the last 2 years, right? But as soon as you kind of get your mind open to this stuff, you immediately realize, hey, there's another path, right? I can use where I am today to drive revenue or income for myself. I can then take that income. I can protect it. I can grow it. I can do things so that I can put myself in a position to spend more time with my family and do the things I want to do. And I think that story doesn't get told enough, whether it's in Canada, the United States, or elsewhere, of, you know, the knowledge is such a great equalizer, right? You have the same knowledge that somebody sitting in a white collar job inside of an investment firm has. And when you get on that level playing field, the things that you can do are frankly generation defining for you and your family, right? Because if you know this stuff, well, guess what? You're going to teach your daughters this. And if they know, they're going to teach their children. And so what you can literally do is kind of change the inflection point of an entire kind of lineage of a family, all because of knowledge. And I think that's the beauty of kind of your story and many other people like you, is that once you have the curiosity and kind of self-starter attitude of like, I want to get this information, you don't got to be a genius, right? You're not a genius. I'm not a genius. There's like five geniuses in the world, right? And they're all billionaires because they're geniuses, right?
Yeah.
But for everybody else, like, you just work hard and you try to do the things that you think are the right things to do. And when you're armed with the right knowledge, then you end up being successful.
It's put a light at the end of the tunnel for me. And that's huge. That's everything. I don't know if I heard this somewhere, but I was thinking about it. I'm not trying to take over the world. I'm trying to take care of my family. And that's just the bottom line. And I want to be happy and be able to enjoy it while it's happening.
I love that. Yeah. We're going to end on that because that is the most powerful, best quote that might have ever been said on this podcast. Before I let you go, where can we send people? Now, we talked before, for 99% of people who are listening, they are not kind of geographically close to you. So for your business, they're going to be kind of out of reach. But I know that we've got some listeners that are in your neck of the woods in Canada. So just talk a little bit about kind of where people can go find out more about your business and then kind of what areas you service in case anyone listening is in that area.
Sure. So I'm most active on Instagram. It's a great space for contractors to share their work. So my contact on there is at @mac.the.builder. Mac,
great
with
name.
Yeah. growing up with kids, having that Bob the Builder thing falling all around all the time. So yeah, it's Mac with a K. Like I say, it's just a great community. Twitter, I'm not, like I say, if you read my bio, it says, don't mind me. I don't know anything. And, I'll service the Vancouver Island, but basically the Northern Vancouver Island is, my home and where I like to try and stay. I've been able to stay busy here, so I'm likely to stick around here.
That's awesome, man. So yeah. Mac.the.builder on Instagram.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Mackenzie. Listen, thank you so much for doing this. I think people are really going to enjoy this, and we'll have to do it again in the future when you kind of keep going.
Thanks, man. Again, thank you so much. This has been awesome.